Hi, friends. A quick reminder that this podcast, Sidecar with Jen Coleslaw, is currently being pushed out on two feeds. If you're listening to this on the Two Chocolate Cakes feed, please be reminded that by the end of June, fingers crossed, Sidecar will only be pushed out on the Sidecar Podcast with Jen Coleslaw feed. So please go find that on your app and follow it so that you don't miss any new episodes. This will allow me to push out new Two Chocolate Cakes episodes on the Two Chocolate Cakes feed. Message me on Twitter at Jen Coleslaw or by email at twochocolatecakes@gmail.com if you are having trouble finding the Sidecar Podcast with Jen Coleslaw feed in your podcast app. Thanks for your support. Community, gardening, whatever. We call it Sidecar. If it has to do with the rituals around food and holidays, making food or taking it places, or remembering what we were eating during important times in our lives, we'll talk about it here. I am your host and bestie, Jen Coleslaw, coming to you from the soulless suburbs of Northern Virginia. Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Day After Donut Day. Well, technically it is the day after Donut Day, but whatever. What is time, anyway? I have a lot of thoughts about donuts, and I'm going to share many of them with you today. When I was a kid, there was this donut shop at the beach. And it was not really a beach, kind of a beach. Anyway, it was called Soundview Donuts, and it was only open on the weekends, and you had to get there at 6 a.m., no joke, and wait in line, and they were almost always sold out by 9 a.m. And don't forget, I grew up in a really tiny little town in Connecticut, so it's not like this was some fancy place in Brooklyn that had a population of 500,000 people. Anyway, at the time, my father worked for a big tree company called Davy Tree, and he either had a cherry picker bucket truck or a spraying truck that he would bring home on the weekends. And he would do jobs for friends and neighbors for cash or for barter. But on Sundays, generally, we would get up early and go get several dozen donuts from Soundview Donuts, and then we would set about delivering them. And honestly, I'm not sure what every trade was. I was not privy to every trade. But I do know that we usually traded two dozen donuts for two dozen fresh eggs from one family that had chickens. But it was a whole Sunday ritual that usually ended with Dad doing tree work or spraying for gypsy moths while I sat in the truck reading and eating my donuts while all this chemical was being sprayed around me. It should be no surprise that I ended up with cancer. And then hanging out at whatever the nearest bar was. Probably it was the Hale and Hardy in East Haddam, or it was the Rustic Inn in Old Lyme, or Dan's Bar and Grill over in Old Saybrook. Or it was at the Roaches or the Russell's house. My father was a lot of fun to be around, whether he was drunk or sober. So growing up, I spent a lot of my time with him. And I was easy to have around because I was quiet and I always had a book with me and I was not much of a whiner. I'm a much bigger whiner now than I was as a kid. Mostly, I just tried to stay out of everybody's way as a kid. My mother, on the other hand, was not fun to be around most of the time, which isn't to say that she was not ever fun, because she was definitely more inclined to take me to the swimming hole for a quick dip at the end of the day. But Mom never bought donuts, and with the exception of Nancy Roach and Peggy Russell, Mom just didn't really have friends. And she was absolutely not a person that folks were happy to see the way folks were always happy to see Dad. So he was just more joyful to be around. Anywho. When I started going to Fisher's Island with my dad, even as a kid and as a teenager and eventually as a grown-ass person, he would always pick up two glazed donuts plus a large tea with milk and three sugars for me on the way to the ferry boat, and we had that ritual for years. until I stopped working for him and was living in Providence and working at Brown University. And eventually he stopped going to Fisher's Island too. We found new breakfast treat rituals when I was visiting, but I'll never not have warm feelings for those summer Sunday mornings waiting in line at Soundview Donuts in Old Lyme, just a few blocks up from the Long Island Sound. So it was not quite the beach, but it's about as close as we're going to get in Connecticut, and then driving around town delivering them. The white powdered lemon filled was my favorite, and it's still my favorite, but it's kind of hard to find. Speaking of Sunday morning rituals, the dredging up of the Sunday donuts reminded me of my Sunday morning breakfasts in Providence. Patrick would leave really early for work, because he had to work a breakfast somewhere, at the crack of dawn, and I would get moving at 7 or so and go to the self-serve car wash every weekend and wash my car, and then meet Ray and Ted and Dan and Monica and Chris and Joe and whoever else was around for breakfast at Nick's on Broadway or Julian's. And then after breakfast, we'd all end up in the backyard of one of our houses drinking more coffee or helping with some house project one of us might have had. I'll talk more about those times and those friends, who unfortunately I don't really see anymore, in season 2 of Chocolate Cakes. But man, those were really the best days. Sundays now are just me and Ben, the farmer's market, then the grocery store, and then home. I don't think I will ever not lament the lack of community here, but I do recognize that there's a big difference between a small college town like Providence with your friends from college and their friends from college making a community, and the suburbs of Northern Virginia, which is just a very different animal. Tomorrow it will be 18 years since I had to sell my house in Providence to give half the cash to Patrick, and no matter how much time goes by, I will never forgive having to do that. I won't forgive my mother for not helping me buy him out for what ended up being a very paltry sum, and I won't forgive him for making me sell the house after he promised he would never do that. Do you have any childhood rituals that you somehow carried into adulthood, like my Sunday donuts? When we visit Ben's parents, who I have mentioned live on a really lovely tidal river in Southeast Virginia, I get up, I make a cup of tea, I pad out in my bare feet and pajamas, really no matter whether it's winter or summer, down through the yard, which is a sloping hill down to the river, and I open the gate, and then I walk all the way out onto the dock to greet the day. There's something about seeing the water first thing in the morning that's very soothing for me. Despite Virginia and Hawaii being pretty far apart, I get the same feeling when I look over the glassy river or the small lapping waves on the beach in the early morning hours. I try to get that feeling by looking at the pool, but it's just not the same. Anyway, back to donut day. Ben got donuts earlier in the week. He had gone out for something and stopped at Texas Donuts, our favorite donut outlet, and they were out of donuts somehow. And it wasn't even donut day. And so he went to the grocery store, and they were easily the worst donuts I have ever had in my entire life. And I didn't even think that bad donuts existed. I mean, there are stunt donuts, which I don't like, but I wouldn't call those bad donuts. They're just donuts I don't like. Anyway, we ended up not even getting donuts on donut day because we were both so thoroughly disgusted by those grocery store donuts. And before you think they were like Drake or Hostess donuts, they were bakery donuts from within the grocery store, and they were terrible. Speaking of farmers markets, there were peaches at the market yesterday. I'm not sure if you saw in the news, but 90% of the peach crop out of Georgia this year was destroyed from it being too warm this spring. I really love Georgia peaches, to be honest, and Virginia grows a lot of beautiful stone fruit and apples, but I feel terrible for those peach farmers in Georgia. I don't know how you come back from that. Maybe there's insurance, but I doubt it covers everything. 90% of the entire peach crop in Georgia. Like, it's the peach state. Like, everything is about peaches in Georgia. Folks need to start believing that climate change is a real thing so they can come up with solutions to these dramatic events. I don't know how that catastrophic loss will affect the availability and cost of peaches where you live, but just be aware. So farmers markets must be opening where most of you are. What are you all seeing? I got a social media message from Scott's, which is up where Mom and Kath live, letting me know that strawberries are now available. And so I let Mom know, but I'm not sure that she'll remember. I'll try to remind her again this week. In other news, my and Ben's anniversary is next Saturday. Do you have any suggestions for what we should do? Last year, we went out to dinner. I mean, we actually got dressed up. Like, as much dressed up as we do. And we went to dinner at a real restaurant. I put a poll up on Twitter for four different Italian restaurants and links to them so everyone could go look. And Semifreddo won out, which was this funny little, very authentic Italian restaurant wedged between like a dry cleaner and a 7-Eleven in a strip plaza. Anyway, it was terrific. It's only the second time we had eaten inside a restaurant since the pandemic started. I kid you not. It was lovely, but it was definitely weird eating inside. But I keep thinking about the dragon fruit martini I had, and it was so delicious. It was probably the last time I actually had an alcoholic beverage. I had the mushroom pappardelle, which was good. It was a little on the gummy side, but it was tasty. And I feel like Ben had oxtail risotto, maybe, which was very tasty. And I think in like a balsamic reduction was very good. And when we shared a caprese salad, and then I don't remember what we had for dessert, probably like a tiramisu kind of thing. And they decorated a plate saying happy anniversary. They were quite lovely there. Last fall, we had lunch with some friends who relocated here from California. We went to Claire's at the Depot in Warrington, which is one of now my favorite places. And that was a delicious meal. So maybe we should go there. They have a really lovely outdoor seating area that is shaded. So even if it's warm outside, it's still really nice. Or should we stick with our usual Italian restaurant tradition? My only requirements are that it has to have something other than seafood, because I don't eat seafood and Ben can't eat shellfish, and it has to have a great dessert option. So if you'd like to pick out a place for us, look in Clifton, Warrington, Culpeper, Haymarket, Manassas area. Let me know what you think. In other news, I bought a pressure canning how-to book. So we are getting closer to finally figuring out our pressure canner that I bought like 6 months ago. Ben has been wanting to can up his chili, which is delicious, by the way. So I hope we'll get working on that and report out how it's going. I have a ton of strawberries in the freezer, and I need to clean up my work area in the dining room so that I can start making strawberry jam. I won't work on peaches until we start getting some freestone peaches, which will come in later in the season. Oh, and that reminds me. I was watching an Instagram reel thingy by one of the creators I like, and he had this hand mixer that had a little light on it, like a headlight. And so, of course, I had to find it, and it looks like it's the Breville Handy Mix Scraper. And while I'm not a person who gets sucked in by influencer-type nonsense, and to be fair, he was not hawking this mixer. That's just his mixer. That was the one he was using. I simply must have this hand mixer now with the headlamp and 9 speeds. And it's going to be my reward if I can attract 5 new Patreon members or Spotify supporters this month. So, you know, tell your friends. Okay, let's get to the food and otherwise holidays this week, shall we? It's kind of a slow week, honestly, for food holidays. I don't know why. First off, it's National Bedbug Awareness Week. And while this isn't a food holiday, unless you consider yourself bedbug food, and spoiler alert, you are, I just want to point it out because lots of people are moving this week, and I'm seeing a lot of yard sales, and I love a good bargain as much, if not more, than anyone. But I wanted to tell you to be careful about bringing soft goods like furniture and wooden furniture like bed frames and bookcases into your house without thoroughly checking to see if it has bed bugs, because you absolutely do not want to deal with getting rid of bed bugs in your house. Not only is it emotionally painful and gross, it is very expensive. It's like having heartworm of the house. And don't ask me how I know this. It's also National Gardening Week and National Headache Awareness Week. And I can tell you quite honestly, I have been painfully aware of headaches these last 2 days. I think the weather has changed here, and it's suddenly a lot more humid, and I can definitely feel it. It's also End Mountaintop Removal Week, which is a thing that happens in coal mining. But based on the actions of the Supreme Court in gutting the Clean Water Act this past week and the Clean Air Act last year and the shoehorning of the Mountain Valley Pipeline Project into the debt ceiling bill, I do not have any hope that we'll end blowing off the tops of mountaintops anytime soon in order to stop coal mining or doing any other bullshit anti-environmental pro-fossil fuel nonsense. I am just so mad. I mentioned this last week, but today is Cheese Day. But I neglected to tell you that it's also Cancer Survivors Day, a day that fills me with both dread and conflict. I love that other people feel like they are cancer survivors and thriving even, new lease on life and all that jazz. But I feel like I am a person who continues to live with the specter of cancer returning at any time. And, you know, if it ever even left, and it isn't just hiding anywhere. So I really hate days like this. Tomorrow, June 5th, is Gingerbread Day, which, again, I'm going to raise an objection. No, it is not Gingerbread Day. It is Lemon Anything Day. It is Strawberry Shortcake Day. It is Blueberry and Peach Yogurt Coffee Cake Day. Gingerbread is a cake for cold weather. And so you know what? Australia, you are up. Gingerbread is for you in June. I will mention that there is a vendor at the Manassas Farmers Market that makes this really delicious gingerbread and carrot loaf that is so good. Perfect with cream cheese. But I think that adding the carrot to it really lightens it up. And so it doesn't feel like it's a wintertime thing. It's also World Environment Day, and the U.S. laughs at the rest of the world working on the thorny issues of climate change and plastic pollution while we blow off the tops of mountains and shove fracking through Virginia while taking over 100 houses by eminent domain just because Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema own their souls, or whatever souls they have, to big fossil fuel. God, I hate both of them with the heat of 20 suns, which, by the way, could be harnessed for power so we could get off the teat of fossil fuels, but whatever. It's also National Veggie Burger Day, and I actually like these, although I ate them a lot more in Providence, and I really can't remember the last time I had a veggie burger here in Virginia, and I'm not so sure why. I'm not interested in those Impossible burgers that look like they're bleeding because I find that to be just disgusting. But I like the burgers that are made up of veggies and beans and grains, especially when they're on the grill and you cover them with cheese and coleslaw. June 6, which is Tuesday, is a bit of a dud. One of my calendars says it's applesauce cake, but that's it for the food holidays. So let's just add a few. In honor of the first peaches at the farmer's market here and the first blueberries, let's make it peach and blueberry yogurt coffee cake. And I'll put the recipe for mine up in the recipe box for the Patreons. It's really the best coffee cake. And for those of you who are still in the north where it's just becoming strawberry time, we'll call it Strawberry Jam Bam Thank You Ma'am Day. And I'll upload my simple strawberry jam recipe, although it is not a freezer jam recipe. Although if you wanted to make it into freezer jam, you probably could. It is a hot water bath canning recipe. But if you wanted me to talk you through how to do that, I'm happy to do that. We could do a Zoom. Okay, Wednesday, June 7th, is National Food Safety Day. This is an important day because food safety keeps us from getting sick from the food that we eat. That said, most use-by dates are made up. The only time I really heed those is for meat. I can smell if milk is bad. I can see if bread or cheese or whatever has mold on it. I can see if my flour has moths in it. I will not throw something away if it's past its use-by date, if it's sealed and looks and smells fine. It's also Chocolate Ice Cream Day, and I like chocolate ice cream when it's part of the triple threat of vanilla choc strawberry or Neapolitan if you're fancy. I mean, I will eat a bowl of chocolate ice cream if you like put one in front of me, but I don't think I've ever once ordered chocolate ice cream cone. Not when there are all these other flavors to be had. Thursday, June 8th is one of my favorite days of the year. It is Jelly-Filled Donut Day. When I can get the strawberry jelly-filled donut at Dunkin' Donuts, you know that's going to be a good day. But I honestly do not even know if they have donuts anymore, do they? My own Texas Donuts has filled to order. You can get raspberry, custard, or lemon, but the donut that you get filled is glazed. I wished it was either powdered or granulated sugar sometimes. Glazed plus jelly is occasionally too sweet, even for me. I know, that's so hard to believe that I could even conceive of such a thing, but it's true. It's also Best Friends Day, and big shout out to my friend Jen G, who is always on the other end of my text, whether it is a sad, mad, or funny text, and is always 100% ready to do some science for me or shenanigans with me. It's also World Oceans Day, and some of my best friends live in the ocean, so stop electing people who want to dump coal ash and other crap into it. June 9th, Strawberry Rhubarb Pie Day. That's a lot of strawberry rhubarb for me, so I just like strawberry rhubarb jam, so let's also add jam to that day. I think that strawberry rhubarb and peanut butter makes a really good sandwich. It's also Dark and Stormy Day, which appears to be a sponsored day by Gosling's Black Seal Rum, although it's possible they actually trademarked the name. A Dark and Stormy is a cocktail made with ginger beer and dark rum. I love ginger beer, by the way. Not a big fan of rum. But to be fair, I've only ever had really crappy rum. So I wonder if I had like the good rum that Jen and Ingo talk about, if I might think differently. We might have to do a science. Saturday, June 10th is my and Ben's anniversary, and it's also Iced Tea Day. Last year, when I finally gave up trying to make iced tea like a normal person with, you know, water and tea bags and ice, I finally bought an iced tea maker thing, and it was fine. But honestly, I think that iced tea is just going to be one of those things I buy. I have said this before, and I will say it again. I do not have to make everything myself. Some things I am just not good at, and iced tea is clearly one of those things. Saturday is also Black Cow Day, and let me tell you, this brewery that we go to, it's called Old Busthead, which is near the animal hospital, brews their own root beer, and it is so delicious, and now they have root beer floats, which is a black cow root beer with vanilla ice cream in it. And honestly, I don't think I've ever had anything so wonderful in a very long time. I was actually under the impression that a black cow was root beer with chocolate ice cream and a brown cow was root beer with vanilla. But the opposite is true, which I don't think makes a lot of sense, but I do not make the rules. It's also World Gin Day and World Rosé Day, but I don't really drink either one of those, so you all can have my share. Finally, Sunday, the 11th, is German Chocolate Cake Day, which, as you know from the Golden Ratio podcast, is not German at all, but is so named by the baker Sam German. It's also Corn on the Cob Day. Now, I love corn on the cob. I don't like how much work it is, and I don't like how all the corns get caught in my teeth, so sometimes I will just strip the corn off. But I also will not compost my corn cobs. For one thing, they take forever to compost. But this is more important. If you have dogs, you absolutely want to make sure that your corn cobs aren't anywhere your dogs can get into them. Corn cobs are a very bad obstruction risk in a dog. So if your dogs get into your compost, or sometimes animals get into your compost and leave pieces of compost around your yard, you don't want anything in your composter that could be a danger to your dog. So corn cobs and peach pits are two things that we absolutely don't put in our compost, because when we go out to spread our compost, we absolutely see that there are peach pits that have not composted. And we just don't want the dogs to eat them. So no corn cobs, no peach pits in the composter. It's also Cancer Thriver Day. Celebrate those who are surviving cancer and those thriving after beating cancer. See, this is the stuff I hate. I think probably, I think way too much about it. But at this point in my quote unquote cancer journey, I know far too many people who have died in the last few years and who are thriving. And the idea that if you're not thriving, you're somehow doing it wrong just doesn't sit well with me. I do not like all that toxic positivity. I don't like it at all. And finally, speaking of things that don't sit well with me, the right's terror on rainbows is just over the top. It is horrific enough with the more than 500 pieces of legislation across the country in this past 6 months alone that are stripping rights and healthcare away from children and adults who are trans, the book bans, the laws making it more difficult for gay parents to care for their biological children, the assault on women's healthcare, the Republican presidential candidates who seem to be making it their entire platform about squashing human rights and history and caring for others and ensuring that white people never, ever have to feel uncomfortable ever again in their lives, all while targeting, no pun, retailers and companies that dare to practice rainbow capitalism 1 month out of the year. When Target said they were taking some items off the shelves because their staff were being threatened, I said, well, why doesn't someone from the store call the cops on whoever is threatening them. I don't want rank-and-file store employees feeling unsafe, but you know as well as I do that if that was some other demographic that was somehow seen as a threat to the store, do you really think they wouldn't just call for more security? Look, I don't give a rat's ass about Target. They are just a slightly more upscale version of Walmart to me. But they did the LGBTQA community dirty by caving to the lunacy of the right instead of standing up to it. So you spend your gay or cis dollars at places that put their money and reputation on the line for our friends and family. Just today, when I was researching where I could buy that hand mixer, I found myself on the King Arthur Flower Facebook page, where their logo is, of course, rainbow flavored for the month. They had posted a delicious looking white chocolate cream cheese frosting recipe. And as you can imagine, several of the comments were, "Why can't you just stick to baking? Why do you have to be a woke company? I will never shop with you again. Blah, blah, fucking blah." And every single one of those comments got a response from King Arthur Flower in support of the community, plus a string of rainbow hearts, all with the name of the King Arthur Flower social media person who was responding, signing each one. And that was the cat sneezing in solidarity. All right, my friends, that's it for the week. If you want to support the podcast, you can join the Patreon at patreon.com/twochocolatecakes or via Spotify, which has, I don't even know how it works, but they have some sort of thing you can join. Supporter, Spotify supporter. Patreons get extra writing, occasional unreleased podcasts, lots of pictures. Like today, I showed pictures of last year's garden, which I don't know if you remember, I was really upset because it was so overgrown. And I showed pictures of what it looks like this year, and it's totally different. And it looks, dare I say, really nice. And I was very proud to share it with everyone. Postcards when I travel, and sometimes even when I don't travel, stickers and other items when I finally get envelopes. And your support allows me to support other creators, fundraisers, and the occasional hand mixer with a little light on it. I hope that you have a good week upcoming. Remember that next week, I think it's next, a week from tomorrow, my sister is coming to visit, so who knows what crazy nonsense we'll get up to. But until then, I'll leave you with these three thoughts. Clingstone peaches are best fresh, while freestone peaches are best for preserving. Water your garden in the early morning instead of at night to keep your plants from getting mildewy. And when you're accustomed to privilege, equity feels like oppression. See you soon.